Let us pray. Holy and loving God, you are our Father and our Mother, and you have fed us with your word. And we pray that as we take it in, our hearts and our minds might be nourished in your truth, and that we might be given the strength and the will to follow it. This we pray in your Son's name. Amen. Little Jimmy was doing his bedtime prayers, and he shouted out, "And please, dear God, I pray that I will get a new bicycle for my birthday." "What are you shouting for?" said his brother. "God isn't deaf." "Oh, I know," said Jimmy, "but Granny is." Now, when I first read that, I figured, oh, Granny was outside in the hallway making sure the boy said his bedtime prayers. But then I also thought about it, and I thought, oh, maybe Granny's died, and he figures she's in heaven, and she'll intercede on his behalf. Either way, it's obvious that Jimmy knows who he's dealing with when it comes to getting what he wanted for his birthday. However, Jimmy is also a lesson for all of us. We, like Jimmy, want to know who we are dealing with when it comes to dealing with the decisions that we have to make in life. We want to know who we're making the deals with. When we talk to human beings, and by natural extension, we want to know the God that we are praying to as well. Why else do we attribute so many human characteristics to God? God is male, generally an old male. Although that's why I chose that hymn, because that kind of stretched that a little bit. Oh, God has a lot of mothering characteristics as well. God is wise. God likes what we like. That way we're always kind of in good cahoots with God. God is someone that we can sit down with and have a cold beer or a hot cup of coffee and have a nice chat with. It makes it easier then for us to relate to God that way. We like a God that we can know. Well, in our scripture reading from Acts today, we hear Paul preaching to the learned people of Athens. People who spent a lot of time thinking about gods and how they interact with humanity. Now, these people who gathered at the Areopagus are the thinkers of Greece, the philosophers, who spend all of their days sitting around and discussing the various attributes of the various gods and how humans should live in relation to them. And I suppose we could say they represent the epitome of wanting to understand the gods that people worship. And in speaking to them, Paul begins, first of all, telling them about his little sightseeing tour around Athens. And how he had noticed all of these shrines and altars and chapels and statues to various gods. You know, the people of Athens did not want to be accused of slighting any god. And to this end, they've established a statue altar to the unknown god. This was their insurance policy. This covered the ones that they may have missed. This is the one that Paul says is the God, the one made known by Jesus. The real God is the one they don't know. The one that they can't name. And Paul tells them who that God is. Now, we can imagine the hot conversation for a while that centered around what Paul said. And I would imagine he was in great demand with the various philosophical societies of Athens after that. "Tell us what you mean." And question and answer sessions. But what this passage did for them and does for us is to cause us to think about, reflect on, what we know or what we claim to know about the God that we worship. Now, this is the same God who, when Moses asked God for God's name, responded with, "I will be what I will be." And Moses, I'm sure, looked at the bush and said, "What? That doesn't help." And Reverend Stacy Sauls, a bishop in Lexington, Kentucky, says, "It's true that the God that Paul introduces them to is the God made known in the resurrection of Jesus in the empty tomb. That's not a big help, too. In many ways, what Paul does is he beckons us into the unknown. Paul invites us into a relationship with a God that really, truly cannot be known on this side of the great divide of life and death. How well we can live with that is a sign of true spiritual maturity. Does that mean that we give up trying to know God then? Well, I can't know God, so why bother trying? No. What it means is that as we grope through the dark of what we don't know about God, we find hints and pieces of what God is like. We feel the umbrella in the dark, and we feel closer to God. I find it interesting that our passage from John is paired with our Acts passage today in the lectionary. We go from Paul calling us to worship an unknown God to Jesus promising to have God send us the Spirit. "I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. You know Him because He abides with you, and He will be in you." So now we have this abstract spirit trying to help us feel closer to an unknowable God. Can't you do a little better than that, Jesus? I mean, can't you have God send another sibling or something? But you know, it fits with what we know about who God is. The reason God said to Moses, "I will be what I will be," is because God refuses to be boxed in by humanity's limited understanding. Not to mention that when human beings feel they have something figured out, have you ever noticed how they tend to not deal with it as much anymore? It's almost like it becomes passé. "Okay, we got that one figured out. Why don't we go on to this?" Perhaps a way to think about it, and I think this is appropriate for this weekend, is to think about the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier in Washington, D.C. The Reverend Moses Tidwell, who lived from 1879 to 1970, wrote once, I believe he probably shared in a sermon, "England, France, and the United States have each tenderly laid away an unknown soldier who fell in sacrifice for his country in the First World War. No king, no potentate, or president ever had more honor than has been bestowed upon this unknown hero. At Arlington Cemetery, quietly rests in a costly tomb the body of some mother's boy. At present, he is unknown. The newspapers gave much space to the record of the burial of this soldier and the ceremony connected with the same. One leading newspaper, with emphasized headlines, declared, 'The identity of this soldier shall never be known.'" And he goes on to say, "This is a mistake. The identity of this soldier will be known. There will come a time in the universe of God when the body of the soldier shall rise. The dead, small and great, shall stand before God. We know not now who this young boy may be. His mother may live in the same block with any of us. His mother might have been English, French, or German. So far as we know, it may be the body of one of the black boys from the Southern Belt. It may be the most humble mother whose boy has been thus honored. This is all concealed from human knowledge, but there is nothing hid from God. Everything will be revealed at the very housetop of the universe. His identity will one day be known. I think it's precisely because the soldier, actually now it's soldiers, there's more than one, buried in the tomb of the unknown soldier. Precisely because they are unknown is why the site is so revered. They have come to represent all of those who have died in the wars of our country and in other countries. Known and unknown. Paul said, now we see in a mirror dimly, then we shall see face to face. Like the ancient Hebrews, wandering through the wilderness, God calls us to do our best to trust God and to follow, as unknowable as God is. It takes a leap of faith. Elias Canetti, an Austrian novelist and philosopher, wrote in 1960, "There is nothing that man and woman fear more than the touch of the unknown. They want to see what is reaching towards them and to be able to recognize or at least classify it. Men and women always tend to avoid physical contact with anything strange. And yet, because of our relationship with Jesus Christ, as I shared with the children, we can trust in the unknown God. It is precisely because of the Holy Spirit that we have the power to remember so that we can trust. As Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will help you to remember all that I have said to you. Jesus is the Word of God made visible to the limited imaginations of humanity, that we might make that leap of faith and trust and believe in the One who is so much more than all we could ever think. May God give us the courage, then, and the will to continue to work to know the unknowable, but to be able to live comfortably with the unknowable. And we don't have to shout our prayers, as God not only can hear them, but you know, God already knows what we're going to ask for anyway. Amen.